Welcome to the chat with Linda Sims, live here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio, streaming live on the web, www.wwgh1071fm. You have the opportunity and the privilege to download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH on any electronic device. You can also call in if you would like to share your questions, your thoughts, or your ideas, and maybe you would even like to connect with my guest or myself today by calling 740-383-9944. I have a thought for you today. The desire to succeed means nothing without the will, the want to, or to have a plan and to work your plan and to prepare. That means to set in motion. I hear you, but do you listen? Listen means take action and apply certain principles and things into your life. So if you have the desire to succeed, remember it means nothing without the will and the preparation. So hopefully you can heed that today, and maybe you know someone else may need that information today. It's like a little tidbit, a little bit of wisdom. Also, let me share with you those who faithfully support the chat. Okay, starting with Chappie's Hydraulics, Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, located at 309 Suite A North Main Street. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street. Telephone number 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Inspect Ohio, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs, with 25 years of experience working for you. Telephone number 1-800-347-5332. And I do have an advertisement for Logos Christian Ministries. They are in the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, is in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries. Free produce market every second Saturday of every month. So that will be coming up this Saturday. Time, 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Location again, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. And thank you. Now I will introduce to you my guest and present to some of you who may have heard of Gail O'Boy from Relationships Under Construction. How are you doing today, Gail?
I'm great. Thank you, Linda, for having me.
Oh, I'm
good to be back with you.
Same here. I'm ecstatic, of course. Always get so much from our time. And I have my sister with me today, Onita Moncrief. I'm sorry, Onita Sims.
Thank you.
I forget that. You changed your name. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. It's good to have you here, too. It's been a while.
Yep. Glad to be back in home, you know, visiting and seeing everybody.
That's great. So, Gail, what do you have for us today?
Well, I thought we'd talk about relationships today.
Okay.
And because relationships can be complicated. It can be complicated for young people, you know, who are first getting into a romantic relationship and on up to through dating relationships and married relationships. So I thought today we'd talk about relationships that aren't healthy.
Okay.
So this is part of Relationships Under Construction's curriculum. I am a presenter in Relationships Under Construction in three counties: Marion County, Wyandotte, and Crawford counties, and I present in the public schools. And one of our curriculums is teen dating violence, and so I'm going to share some information from that.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about 12 fire alarms in relationships. Okay. So unfortunately, we all haven't been in a healthy relationship. We haven't had healthy relationships modeled in our home by our parents. There are many parents that are single parents that are raising kids on their own, and so those kids don't have the opportunity to see a mom and dad working together or two spouses working together.
Right.
So oftentimes we don't know what healthy is. We don't know what healthy looks like.
That's true.
And so we do also talk about that in our curriculum and in the relationships under construction curriculum. But today I wanted to talk about what bells should go off. We know when a fire alarm goes off mm-hmm. in school or in work, we all know what to do because we've been trained since elementary school. Get out. In an
true.
Orderly fashion and quickly get out because it could save your life. It could save another life.
True.
Okay, so there are fire alarms in relationships, and when these bells, whistles, or whatever go off, it's a warning that this may not be a healthy relationship, and it may be time to leave the relationship.
Right.
Yeah. So the first fire alarm is, does the person that you're dating, okay, or in a relationship with, look at you or act in ways that scare you? Okay, so your partner should never scare you.
Right.
You know, when we were kids, and I can remember myself in church growing up, if I was talking with my sister or not listening or whatever, I would get the look from my mom. And
right.
that meant straighten up or you're going to be in trouble as soon as church is over.
That's true.
Right?
That's
so true. You got the look from your parents, and that's okay because they're your parents. They're the disciplinary person in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not okay to get that look from your significant other.
Wow.
They don't have that authority over you like a parent does. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not all right. So friends and boyfriends, girlfriends, they don't have authority like your parents or guardians do. And even in a adult dating relationship, they don't have authority over you because you're not marrying, okay? And
sure.
So I'm not talking specifically about marriage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about relationships outside of marriage.
Right.
Okay? And a healthy marriage relationship, that's another conversation, okay?
Right.
Because there are some different there are some differences, you know, in that. So this I'm talking about dating relationships. So that's the first fire alarm. So that should be a bell going off that something may not be right in this relationship. Okay. Number two, if they act jealous or they're possessive. Now, I mean, of course, we all get jealous at times, and there's a normal amount of jealousy because that's a normal human emotion.
Right.
But we're talking about extreme jealousy. And what goes beyond normal, for example, if you forgot to return your boyfriend, girlfriend's phone call,
mm-hmm.
Do they get extremely angry, extremely jealous, scream at you, yell at you, accuse you of things? You're spending time with other people. You're not where you were supposed to be. Why aren't you returning my call?
Mm-hmm.
These, again, should be red flags that this person may not be the best person for me to be in a relationship with.
Right.
Okay. I haven't done anything to deserve this jealousy, or even if you have,
mm-hmm.
still, that is jealousy to the extreme. Okay.
Okay.
Thirdly, if they put you down or criticize you in person, online, or publicly,
mm-hmm.
okay, that's not okay. You know, we all have things that we need to work on, but those should be private conversations, you know, between two people.
That's true. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, not something that should be talked about in front of another person. Oftentimes, an abuser will criticize the victim to control them,
right.
okay? They want to lower their self-esteem. They want to make them feel insecure so
mm-hmm.
that they have power over them. And that is, these are all, you know, things that could be seen in an abusive relationship.
Right, right.
And that is what an abuser does. They want to have control over their victim.
Right.
Okay, and so this could be one method that they're using to manipulate their partner.
Like, where you been?
Yeah.
Who you talking to?
Yeah.
Who's that on the phone?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And maybe saying, you know, you're overweight, watch what you're eating, you shouldn't be eating that cookie, you know.
Right.
That's something that you don't, first of all, women like don't like to discuss their weight publicly.
No.
And we don't like,
private,
period,
right?
Right, period, let alone right. publicly.
Right, right.
And so that would be something inappropriate that someone might do. You know, that might be an example that you would see under
right.
that.
Or you complain all the time. Why aren't you ever happy?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get that too. A lot of women get that. Well, why aren't you happy? You know, and you're like, well, what do I have to be happy about? Because this isn't going right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, and especially with all the social media outlets we have today, like our generation, it's Facebook. For younger ones, it may be Instagram or Snapchat or something like that. But a lot of times people air their grievances on their relationships online.
That's
well, that's
true.
A private thing. You don't need to tell everybody you're mad at your significant other.
That's
not something that would be appropriate to do.
No, it's not.
That's not an appropriate way to handle a grievance in the relationship. And so, you know, again, that could be used as, that could be seen as criticism online publicly or even in person. You
mm-hmm.
know, if they're always criticizing you, you can't ever do anything right. That's probably not a healthy relationship.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The fourth fire alarm is when they try to control where you go, what you wear, and what you do. And you kind of mentioned that. They always want to know your whereabouts. You feel like you have to ask permission to go hang out with your friends or family. And they want to be everywhere you are. They may even tell you that you can't wear this or you can't hang out with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be subtle, like they may want to take you shopping to get a new outfit, which seems really nice.
Right.
But that, again, that may be a form of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, and at first, this may not seem obvious in a new relationship because it's so new and you want to spend time together and you may not recognize it as control.
Right.
Okay. Or even jealousy. Even jealousy can kind of be disguised. That, oh, he always wants to spend time with me. He loves me so much.
Right.
You know,
right.
He just doesn't want to share me with my friends. And, you know, those things can seem okay at first.
At first.
Yeah. And they can quickly get out of control
mm-hmm.
to where it's not normal and it's extreme.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yep.
So what if the person is a busy person and they're always not really there? They're off and on, you know, until it's time to relax in the evening and
mm-hmm.
then they're home, you know, because you have a lot of women today who are busy.
Right.
They work 9 to 5 or, you know, second shift, third
nine.
Shift. Some,
mm-hmm.
some have to
yeah.
sleep all day. You know, I mean, there is assortment of the other partner that's busy.
Right.
You know, but, and then they try to manipulate you into giving up certain things,
mm-hmm.
you know, well, you're going too much, you do too much, you never hear,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So what would be your advice to say it's a pretty decent relationship, but
yeah.
it may be getting out of hand because the woman is too busy?
Yeah. Well, and so I guess I have a couple different thoughts on that because it depends. If you're in a healthy, stable relationship,
mm-hmm.
Married or not,
right.
I guess you have to really prioritize what's important to you.
Right.
And list your priorities. You know, is it family first? You know,
mm-hmm.
Then job. And so you have to list it. And I guess you really have to know what your passions are and what your giftings are. And so you don't say yes to everything. But what's really important to you.
Okay.
Because if you're so busy that this person who's important to you and it's a healthy relationship doesn't feel like they have any time with you, then you might need to consider dropping something because they're feeling excluded from your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you need to invite them into your life, invite them to participate in some of these things, or find something that you two enjoy together so that you can have that time, or schedule them into your busy calendar. Because if it's a healthy relationship and you want to invest in it,
right,
and certainly you do if it's a marriage relationship,
mm-hmm.
then you need to make time for that person.
Right.
You need to make time for them.
That's true.
If it's a dating relationship, then you need to decide, is this relationship worth continuing? And is this person a priority above all of these activities? And can you make time for them? Mm-hmm. And are they worth it? And if not, then it's maybe not a relationship worth continuing.
Right, right. And I was thinking, you know, dating is a little different because I can log in my calendar what day.
You know? I'm available, right?
Yeah. I'm available. Or
but when you're married, you got to be available.
And
yeah.
And even that's kind of crazy. You know, like I have to set up, get your calendar out. Well, I got this to do and that to do. Well, I can pencil you in right here.
A lot of men don't like that either because they feel you still don't really have time. You're trying to just make time to show, I guess, an effort, you know.
Yeah.
But then my problem is, you know, if you do have time, but the person never wants to do nothing or go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's another situation. You know, you're sitting at home spending time with me, but why can't we go out, do something together, have some fun, you know, lighten up the day?
Yeah.
But you have a person that don't want to do that. What do you do then?
Yeah. Well, and I can understand that because typically opposites attract, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm an introvert, extrovert. I'm kind of on the line, but my husband is certainly an introvert, and so he enjoys being home. And I do too. I refuel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, quality time may be us watching a show together or going on a 15-minute walk together, and that's quality time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, for you, quality time may be different, and so it's kind of a give and take and a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this today, let's do a show together or watch a game together or whatever. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, Friday, let's go to dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, next Friday, we'll have dinner at home and watch a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of a give and take because, like we talked about prior to the show, we've read the book Love Languages, and we have love languages, and whatever your love language is, that's how you want to receive love. But somebody else's may be different, and you have to learn that love language so you're loving them the way they want to be loved. And so it may not be how you want to receive it, but if you're both doing that for each other, you'll both feel loved. And you may have to step out of your comfort zone to meet that person. You know what I mean?
Needs.
Yeah, meet their needs. Yeah.
Emotional need.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Emotional need.
Because we all have them. They're just different.
Yeah.
They're just different. Yeah.
Yeah. I read that in the book. I was like,
I haven't read that book. I might have to find that.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Five
love languages.
And they have it for kids and
couples.
And it's important to know what your love language is for your whole family. You know, my son, it's important for me to know how he needs to be loved because mine is gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when I buy something for them or, you know, do something for them, they don't feel loved. It makes me feel good, but it doesn't necessarily make them feel loved.
Right.
And so I need to know
what their language is. You could have just baked them some cookies. He would have been very, very happy.
Right. Or words of encouragement. That's one of them. My son.
Yeah, words of encouragement.
You know?
Quality
time together, acts of service. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so there's five different ones, and it's worth investigating what your significant other is, your kids. Yeah. It's helpful. So,
So
having a busy schedule, and trying to make time for your family or your significant other, it's important, especially in marriage. Sometimes we have to say no. And in a relationship that is worth pursuing, I would suggest the same thing.
Right.
Now, for high school kids, that's different. They're very busy with extracurricular activities, homework, and so forth. And maybe it's not a time to be so serious.
Right.
You know, but if you are going to pursue a relationship with this person, try to find times where you're both free or maybe you can work out together and stuff like that. But you shouldn't have to give up your values and what's important to you.
Right.
True.
Don't lose yourself.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
That's good. That's good. Don't lose yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, if you can't study, but you don't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because it's about learning.
Ultimately, somebody who loves you is going to want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important. If they're not wanting what's best for you, then they don't really love you. They are a taker and not a giver. A giver in a relationship, you want a relationship with two givers.
True.
Two takers would never make it. A giver and a taker, the taker's going to take advantage of the giver, right?
Right, right.
So a giver wants what's best for the other person. And so ultimately, they're going to want to compromise with you, or once you get an A on that test, help you study, you know, pursue your career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's who you want to be in a long-term relationship with, is a giver.
Right, that's good advice.
Yeah.
Very good advice.
Yep. So our fifth fire alarm is, are they texting or calling you excessively and messaging you in some format? That's obviously a huge problem now, because we have so many outlets of social. We can be contacted at any time. You know, we all have our phones right here. Mm-hmm. I could get 5 texts just while I'm talking, you know, on
That's
the radio.
True. That's true.
So we're so accessible to people. And so what is too much today? Mm-hmm. Okay. A boyfriend and a girlfriend, they really shouldn't, unless they have given each other permissions, they don't really have, you know, the right to be checking your cell phone and your email and your text,
right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your parents do.
Mm-hmm.
My husband certainly does. He's my spouse.
Right.
If I had a boyfriend, now that's another thing, you know, we haven't
right.
made a commitment to each other for the rest of our lives,
right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And not obligated in that area,
right? Okay. Right. But today, I think tech abuse is getting like I'm trying to remember in my head, 40 calls within an hour, or 100 texts within an hour. Where are you? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be extreme. That would be over the top.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're talking about. Excessive.
Okay.
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 Excessive. Having somebody say sleep with your cell phone on your chest or by your bed, so you know that if I'm trying to get a hold of you, you'll respond. Okay, that's excessive. We have times of sleep anytime really after midnight till 5, 6, 7 in the morning. Those are times, you know, somebody shouldn't need to get a hold of you on your cell phone unless you're a parent, you know, or have elderly parents, you know. Teenagers certainly don't need to be bothered on their cell phone during those hours.
True.
They have parents looking out for them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So, number 6 would be monitoring and checking your emails. Again, those are private. As a teen, your parents have a right to check on your emails. They want to make sure you're safe. They're wanting to make sure you're telling the truth, you're honest, mm-hmm. and they want to make sure that somebody's not being a predator to you. Okay,
right,
these are
right.
reasons that parents check these things, and they should. A good mm-hmm. parent should check. Now, you know, depending on the trustworthiness of your child, you know, how often you do that is up to the parent. But boyfriends and girlfriends, that's not a right to do that.
Right.
Another fire alarm, number 7, is blame you for hurtful things that they say and do. So after a disagreement or an argument, abusers may say things like, say things that are very hurtful to you or about you, and then say things, well, if you wouldn't have done X, then I wouldn't have said that, or I wouldn't have done that.
Right.
If you didn't make me so mad, I wouldn't react like that. And we have to understand that anger is an emotion that we all have.
Right.
But we are also responsible for how we channel our anger, and not to take it out on others. And abusers will have a hard time accepting responsibility for their wrong or inappropriate actions, and they blame others. Okay, so that's another way they may manipulate and control us. If we have lost self-esteem in ourselves or have low self-esteem, we may feel like, well, oh, I made him mad. I made him hit the wall because I forgot to let the dog out and he went to the bathroom on the floor.
Right.
You know,
right.
Whatever the example is.
Right.
But you are not responsible for the way someone else handles their anger.
Right.
We are all responsible. We all have anger, but we're all responsible for how we handle our own anger.
That's okay? True.
We don't make someone else angry.
Right.
They choose their response.
Right. You know, I think that's a big one, that anger
yes.
issue, you know, because like you said, if you hadn't said what you said, if you hadn't done what you did, if so-and-so hadn't interfered or the knock on the door, who's that? You know, you're so mm-hmm. angry about it, you know. And some people, it doesn't take much. They've already hit 12 or 10
right.
in a moment. You know, and it's like, well, where did all that come from, mm-hmm. you know, and it's hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you feel like I have to defend myself.
Right.
Because
and you
now,
become defensive. Right,
right. And you get defensive. Even though you've tried to deal with that person logically,
mm-hmm.
sweetly, you mm-hmm. know, low tone is like there's no, it may subside for a while, but then as they escalate and you get further into the relationship, then that doesn't even work anymore.
Right, right.
You know, people say, well, maybe it's the way that you answer them. And no, because I tried the low tone and being mm-hmm. sweet and all that, mm-hmm. but now it's all out of control.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to defend myself, right?
Right.
So it's like, somebody got to go down eventually. So
yeah.
It's time to move
yeah.
on with your
right.
life. You
so
know?
this is an indication that this is not a healthy relationship. And, you
right.
know, there can be so many factors because could have been something that happened to this person who became angry earlier in the day or early in the week. And they're not really angry at you. You were just the last straw, you know. And so
right.
if it happens once, you know, that person maybe had a bad day. But mm-hmm. if it's a pattern, you know,
right.
And that's a lot of these things. Is this a pattern?
Mm-hmm.
Once it's a pattern, you need to know that it's not going to stop
mm-hmm.
unless the person wants help, chooses to get help, that you can't fix them. It won't
right.
get better. It'll only get worse.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
I know that's a big one right there, that anger
yeah.
issue, you know.
Yeah. Number eight fire alarm is threatening to kill or hurt you or themselves if you leave them. And so this also is, scary, mm-hmm. but you have to take it seriously. Okay. Because there are, people who are serious.
True.
And they might take their life and they might take your life. And so you never, ever want to disregard that comment.
Right.
But you should tell an adult. For students, they need to tell an adult. They need to have the suicide hotline available. Adults do too. And so that if anyone should actually threaten that, I would report it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not try and handle it yourself because that person probably is emotionally and possibly mentally unstable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they need professional help. They
right.
need professional help, but you need to get yourself to safety, and make sure that they're getting the help they need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You never want to not, take that seriously because if they actually went through with it, you would not want to live with the guilt
right.
of that.
So in other words, you're saying not only take responsibility for yourself, but in a way you're taking responsibility for this other person too.
Yeah.
Even though it may not be a good relationship.
Yeah.
Because like you're saying, if they send a threatening as I'm going to kill myself or I'm going to hurt you, take that seriously.
Yeah.
You know, get someone else involved.
Tell your parent, tell a friend, call the police.
Right, right.
You know.
So that's a way of protecting them also.
Right.
Okay.
So you remove yourself from the situation.
Right.
But you've put somebody else who is trained to handle those kind of situations.
Turn the volume off.
Sorry.
Hello?
So anyway, you put somebody who's has authority and professionally trained to handle that situation.
Hello.
So fire alarm number 9. If they try to stop you from seeing or talking to friends or family, that's isolation. Okay. And this is, we also talk with the students about the 5 big eyes, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. So the tactic here is to get the victim away from family and right. friends, because that's their support system. That is who is looking out for them. They could tell them, he's not good for you, she's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Abusers can be male and female, so we're not right. saying just guys here.
Right.
A support system cares for them, cares for their loved one, and so an abuser is going to want to get them away from. So anytime they try and isolate them, that's a red flag. That's a fire alarm.
Right. Right.
Could be moving you away. Could be saying, oh, don't go out with your friends. Go with me. Causes arguments all the time. Showing up unexpectedly.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true.
Yep.
It's a big one.
Yeah. The 10th fire alarm is when they try to use guilt to get you to have sex or force you to have sex before you're ready. So especially with high schoolers, you know, they're not ready for that. They're young. They've got, you know, a lot of life ahead of them.
Right.
And so when someone tries to force them to do that, that's obviously, or to make them feel guilty for not having sex with them, that clearly is a fire alarm, and they need to get out of the relationship quickly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a good thing, because then you hold resentment.
Yes,
towards
right.
a person who mm-hmm. really forces you to do what you really have no intentions of doing yet.
Yes, right.
You know, and they're so pushy, and you know, which is a force.
Mm-hmm. Right. And forcing someone to have sex is rape. Mm-hmm. So you know, we can call it what it is.
Yeah. I see you
exactly,
did that.
That's exactly what it is. She's right.
Yeah.
Even with even if they're just talking.
Yeah.
That's a way of
yeah.
same thing, okay? Consider that rape.
Yeah. And, you know, in any relationship, it's a good thing to set boundaries. Here's what I expect in this relationship. These are
right.
the boundaries that I want, you know. What and whatever you agree on, and you know, of course, we are encouraging kids to wait to have sex until marriage.
Right.
That provides for the healthiest relationship, the healthiest marriage,
mm-hmm.
for lasting marriages. You know, so but it's good to talk about what your boundaries before you ever even go out for the first time,
right.
so that you're on the same page.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Number 11, if they hit, slap, push, or kick you, if they physically hurt you, that should be a red flag. That should be in a fire alarm. That's not okay. Not the first time. Certainly not the second or the third time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that will only get worse. That abuse is a learned behavior. Okay, they have been around that. They have learned that.
Right.
And so they need help.
Mm-hmm.
You can't change that person. You will not change that person unless they want to change themselves.
True.
And then they need to seek professional help.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy, you know, a trained counselor. But they will not change themselves. So that is certainly one reason, certainly a top one, to leave mm-hmm. to leave the relationship.
Okay. That's a good reason to leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, put your hands on me. Yep, got to go.
Yes, right.
Got to go.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Turn it off.
Technical difficulties.
I don't know how to.
It should say off.
No.
Hang
call
up.
Call or drop.
Drop.
Okay. I was trying to drop it. I mean, I have phone on, and it's not ringing. So, I can't tell if someone's calling. I don't know where that came from, but let's go on.
Okay, and so our last fire alarm, the 12th fire alarm, is restraining you from leaving during an argument. And many teens and some adults, too, don't see restraint as abuse, but any time a person restricts you from freely leaving in a relationship, that's part of abusive behavior. They may even block the doorway, an abuser may even block the doorway. So it's a clear sign of danger. And so, again, when I started talking about this, I said some people don't know what healthy looks like. They've never had the opportunity to see a healthy relationship. And so they may think these things are normal.
Right.
And so the message today is these are not good, healthy, or normal behaviors. It may be normal in your life, but it's not healthy normal.
Right.
And so these are reasons to leave a relationship.
Right. And, you know, as you were saying that, what came to my mind, parents with teens that date, they should be a little inquisitive about, you know, how's your relationship going, how Johnny or Joe is or Susan, you know, do you like being with them, is there anything that you don't like about them,
yeah.
you know, that may be troubling you.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, youth, they may fall in school,
right,
you know, away from their activities and their friends. And I think parents should take a more active role also in their teens' lives. You
yeah,
know?
Definitely. Asking open-ended questions like those are good things. You may think that the teen doesn't want to talk to you about that relationship.
Right.
But really, they do value their parents' opinions, and they are listening. So if you were to take them out, you know, for ice cream or, you know, something they enjoy, and just give them some time and let them talk freely about their relationship, that would be a healthy thing to do.
Right.
Just let them air their concerns or what's going right, or, you know, and just be able to have an open conversation without feeling like they're being judged, or I can't say this, I'm going to be in trouble, you know.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even adults. You know, sometimes we're ashamed to address certain concerns about a person that we may be in a relationship with, and I think that helps the relationship to go in the wrong direction too long.
Right.
You know, then you're at a point where it's really hard to get out of it.
Right. Yeah.
Did you have any questions, Nita?
Well, I had a thought about, too, with the young kids and the parents and being inquisitive about the relationship. You know, like back in time and back in the days where you would have to come to the house. To visit. You courted.
Right.
Before you even started dating. So that was for the parents to see who you were dealing with.
Right.
And they got to see for themselves to make their own assessment.
Right.
And I think with a parent not being able to see that person and say, well, I don't think he's good for you. Because we know. We've been there. We dealt with relationships over our life. So there's things we might see right off that they wouldn't see.
Exactly.
Even though we might say, I don't think he's good. They might try it anyway. But at least you don't want to say, I told you so when it all fall apart. But at least maybe they might look and see what the parent might see. So that thing that's been thrown out of dating might be something interesting parents might think about bringing back so they can help their children assess that child, you know, with all the drugs and everything out here today.
Yeah.
You really don't know who you're dealing with.
Right. Have them come. It's a great idea. Have them come over for dinner.
Yeah.
If you don't sit down to dinner, make this an occasion where you all sit down to dinner.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Play a family game.
Yes.
Play a game outside, whether it's kickball, you know. Simple things. Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I think parents should require.
I did that with my girls. Yeah, my oldest one, she's 29, and the younger one's 23 right now. But, yeah, I had them, you know, if I can't meet them.
No, you're not going out with them. That's right. They can't come to the door.
And that was even with their friends. If I can't meet them, their mother, have her call me. You stay all night. Well, okay, have her call me.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to know where everything and everybody is, you know. So, and I mean, because they're so deceptive. Teenagers are so deceptive.
Yeah. And I think, maybe not at the time, but down the road, kids will appreciate their parents protecting them. Because that's what it is. It's protection. It's not nosiness.
Right.
You know, I said, filters on our internet for my son, and he'll try to get to something and he can't get there, and his time limit runs out, and he gets upset with me, and I say, This is for your good. I'm trying to protect you. Mm-hmm. You're lucky you have a parent that loves you enough to do it because mm-hmm. that's the only reason I'm doing it. I'm not trying to upset you or frustrate you. Right. I'm trying to protect you.
Right.
And I think eventually, hopefully, down the road, mm-hmm. they'll appreciate the protection.
Yeah. I do get the gratitude. You know, I get the thank you, mom, for this and thank you, mom, for mm-hmm. that.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. now they have their own children.
Yeah, right. Now and they have
to
raise them.
You know, there is the thank yous. I'm like, well, okay, I'm glad you...
Exactly.
Yeah,
good.
I'm glad I did it. Glad I had the sense, but it's just being raised, I guess. And a lot of things, like you said, it's just mothers raising children right now. Mm-hmm. So, and they're young and they have more about themselves on their mind than the children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like I tell a lot of people, you know, that's why we have so much crime these days, because children are raising themselves and they really don't have any guidance.
Yes.
A lot of, you know, younger generation have a lot of drug dealers to deal with as mm-hmm. mates, you know, ex-convicts. You know, it ain't the hardworking man anymore.
Right.
You know, because it's hard to find a hardworking man anymore.
Right.
Most of them are in education, so they go for educated women, mm-hmm. you know, and things like that. So it's hard to really find a good man, you know, if you're not in that level up there where they are. And mm-hmm. so it's just, it's a sad situation, really.
It is.
But it's where we are, and I'm glad to see somebody out there like you who's trying to give some direction to some younger people.
Well, and you know that so many great kids come from single parent homes mm-hmm. because those moms and those dads even have to work really hard
mm-hmm.
to do the job of two people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, parenting's tough. And so we tell the kids, you know, that parenting is hard. And so, you know, we can see that some of you, good results can come from single parenting. It's just harder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, make, you know, be choosy.
Yeah.
Be choosy before you...
Yeah, don't settle.
Don't settle, right. Mm-hmm. Because it will have an effect on your kids, you know.
Yeah.
Kids do benefit from, you know, a two-parent household for many of the reasons you just said.
Yeah.
From many of the reasons you just said.
Yeah.
That's true.
And so it is hard. It's very hard today to raise family, especially if you have to do it on your own.
That's true. That is so true. And when you were talking about the warning signs, a lot of times... these signs pop up. You name 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you get into a relationship or you're just beginning to get into a relationship, mm-hmm. if you're not aware of the signs, then you may dismiss one or two that may be very, very important and enter a relationship anyway.
Right. Right.
When you could have avoided it.
You could have avoided it. Yeah.
Out of 12, she said, I got about 8 of them on my list. I know that touched my...
Yeah. Right.
Like, hey. But it's not this... It's not extreme, but they're there.
Yeah.
The signs are there.
Right.
So it's just like, oh, okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm taking back and let him see the list. That's
there you go. Yeah.
And what do you think?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think? Yeah. So, hey, that's another way. You know, let them read it for themselves.
Right.
You know, that way sometimes that helps visualize, okay, this is me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we do that in class with our kids. We talk about the givers and the takers, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. we talk about the characteristics of each, and we say some of you may realize that you're a taker,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and you may have some work to do.
That's true.
You know, mm-hmm. because I'm not sure if anybody really wants to be a taker,
right,
you know.
Right.
But so they can reassess themselves and try to work on... Mm-hmm. You know, becoming a better person.
I think that one parent family has a lot to do with that, because mm-hmm. they haven't seen men really give to women.
Yeah,
and that's what that is all about. So
that's
most of the young men today are takers,
because
they've had the mother give. They've had the female give. They haven't had a man to give.
Yeah.
So that's understandable.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Right, because it is a picture.
Yeah.
You know, you love a picture. Now, how is Tyler doing?
He's great. Yep. Yeah, he's 10, going to be 11, and he's doing well in school, and he's a good boy.
I'm sure
blessed
he is.
To be his mom.
Yes, you mm-hmm. are. He is a good young man.
Thank
10
you.
10 years old. I admire him.
He's grown up.
I really do. Yeah, I really do. And I went to Gail's house once, Nita, and he mm-hmm. wanted me to come in the basement. He had an entire collection of... Legos.
Oh, really?
Where he had made different things. I mean, he was so proud of that collection. I'm like, he's doing really good. Because he's focused.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very
he
focused.
He is focused. Because you know how much time it takes to put a Lego thing together? I used to work with Zephaniah on that kind of stuff, you know. But that shows that he is focused.
Yeah, he's like a little old man in a 10-year-old body.
I believe it.
His field is architecture. He'll be an architect.
Yes, right. That's what he wants to do.
Yeah, he'll be an architect.
Engineer, architect, everything like that. Yeah, yeah, it is really
that's
good.
It's good to sew into that. That's good. That's
right.
Good.
Yeah. So, Gal, thank you for coming and sharing
with us. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, with my sister and I. And I'll have to catch you at another time when you're on your downtime. Because I know school is starting and you're going to be in the schools. And tell Tyler I said hello
I
if he still remembers
will.
Me. And thank you all for tuning in to the chat today with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Until next time, be blessed.